I have a note here from Gabby with a question. First of all, she asked me to tell you again and everyone else who's been discussing how much she appreciated being here and hearing the discussion, people's questions and John's and Sarah and Jonathan's answers. But I'll read the note to you. It says, I'm going back to Germany tonight and will take back the following reminders. And first of all, she says, the past moment, there is clinging to nothing. And for a future moment, there is craving for nothing. And her question is, what can be said about the present moment?
Is it real to cling to nothing? But Panya knows when that which is clung has gone completely, never to return. So cling to what? Every moment.
Yes.
But clinging has its object as what appears. And it has to be now, because we know that realities arise and fall away in split seconds. So that which is now before is gone completely, never to return. So it has to be precise whether is there attachment or clinging right now to what? We just talk about clinging clings to that which appears, but now what? It's not exactly known yet. So there is I, so deeply rooted. Just hearing about nothing is not enough at all, because it does not appear as nothing. But when it appears as nothing, it's like waking up that which hasn't experienced anything like this before, to be so real. So we begin to understand reality and what is not so, and it's gone. What Buddha said cannot be changed at all, because he enlightened the truth of whatever appears, everything. It depends on right understanding to consider carefully what he said about natural, see? Otherwise, it's not panya, because it's attachment and aversion towards that object.
For example, now, there's attachment to the sound that's heard, the sound of Ajahn's voice. This hearing is attachment instantly, and we think that it's attachment to the voice, and then there is clinging to hearing the sound that we like again and again. But actually, that sound that there is clinging for has gone already, is instantly gone. So it's like clinging to nothing. Mm-hmm. So the Buddha said that all rupas are like foam, just like foam that bubbles up and disappears instantly. When you try to touch the foam, nothing is there at all. It's completely empty. Mm-hmm. So that sound that we like has gone already by the time there is any liking. So it's clinging to foam or empty nothing all the time. But it's sound which appears and sound which has to be known. But it's so useful to understand that what there is clinging to, what we find so important in life, is actually just like foam.
Ajahn, when you said a few minutes ago, we wake up, and that's panya begins to understand. Is that right?
It's now natural?
No, no.
Really?
Oh, well, it's natural and it rises and falls away.
Yes,
but it's not natural in the sense of realities. We don't know reality.
So when there's no understanding, is it natural? When there is no understanding, is it natural? Is it natural? Why not? So natural of ignorance. It has to be like this. There cannot be better understand than now, than what it can happen.
What happens now.
Yeah. So aloha is natural and lopa is natural.
Both are natural.
Everything which is real, right. As long right. as there is the idea of something to twist, to make it different from this moment. That's why it's so natural to have attachment, even yes. right now, but it's not known as no one, no self at all. So there is no idea of thinking, wrong thinking that I can do or I will do. But the understanding is the most important thing because it can understand.
Yes.
The level of understanding and the truth, whether it is understanding or not understanding, or it is attached to wanting to understand such words in details, what form, just for
the
craving.
Self, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. why it's so very subtle and very deep, because when it's not as natural, it cannot be letting go.
Right.
It is attached to do something to have it or not have right. it.
So when there is no panya, the lopa, the dosa, the moha are all very natural.
Yeah.
And as panya develops, panya see we panya sees anew that we think is natural yeah. is really covering up what is real.
It has the accumulation from moment to moment of panya to condition the moment of beginning to understand better and better.
Mm-hmm.
That's all so natural.
Yes, it must be natural. No one can control, no one can make it happen. Expect. That's a hindrance.
Just getting back to Gabby's original remarks, I think as I commented at the time, she mentioned the same thing in the discussion, the clinging to what has been past and the craving for what is yet to come is actually the same reality, but just a different object. And so in terms of the present, then again, it's the same reality, but a different object. But what we think of as clinging to the present is not necessarily the present reality, because that has already fallen away. It's actually a bit like clinging to the past, because what we perceive as being the present is a concept of the realities that have already fallen away.
So is the Tipatthana natural? It has to be, just like now.
I heard Lop and Chong that this is your last day. So Lop, I'd like to ask you what you find most useful about studying the Buddha's teachings. What is the point of hearing about the Dharma? What is the benefit?
To me, the benefit of hearing the Buddha teaching is to find out what reality is truly is.
To find out what is, can we say, to find out what is real, what is true at this moment?
Yes.
Is that correct? And what is real or true at this moment? Can you give some examples?
What is true at this moment?
Yes.
The hardness.
Hardness that
yeah.
is touched, yes.
Is Ryan falling away?
Which rises
moment.
And falls away, yes.
Yes.
What experiences the hardness, or who experiences the hardness?
The body sensation.
Is it the body sense that experiences the hardness, or is it the citta, the body consciousness?
The citta.
The citta. The hardness has, we say, impinged or contacted the eye sense, the body sense, and the body consciousness, the citta, experiences that hardness. This is what we have heard. Can anyone except the Buddha teach this?
No.
For example, we might enjoy reading many other teachings and studies and science, or in my case, I trained as a psychologist, But can anyone except the Buddha teach about hardness as Dhamma, which is nothing in it, no one in it, and body consciousness, which touches it, not I who touches it? Do we need to listen to the Buddha to learn this?
Yes, we need to listen to the Buddha to learn about this.
And if we don't learn about this, is there any problem?
We may forever live in the world of fantasy.
We live in the world of fantasy, exactly yes. Right. And when living in the world of the fantasy of fantasy, we imagine that it's I who experiences all day long, and that what is touched, what is seen, what is heard is something or someone. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And how about now, when hearing what is heard now?
Chitta.
What is heard?
What now? Is heard? Sound.
Sound. Yes. And what experience is it?
The chitta.
Chitta. What about ear sense? Can ear sense experience the sound?
No.
No. Why cannot ear sense experience sound?
Because ear sense cannot experience.
Why not? Pain.
It's rupa.
It's rupa, exactly. Yes. Can any rupa experience anything?
No.
No. So what kind of dharmas can experience an object?
Citta and cetasika.
Citta and cetasikas. And apart from citta and cetasikas, which can experience the sound now or the hardness now, is there any other dharma or anything else that can experience any object in life?
No.
So what about when people say, oh, I hear whatever you say about the Buddha's teachings, I know, I hear. What do you think about this?
I just a concept.
Just an idea.
Yeah,
if there's no thinking, then no I. So if we read in some other book about how I experience sound, or I experience Ajahn's voice or Sarah's voice, then at that moment, it's interesting and it's helpful, but we know that it cannot be correct. Is that right? And what about when we discuss more details? And I know some are difficult to follow because of the English and the Pali terms, like when we talk about virya, which is effort or patience, and which cittas it arises with. Is there any value in discussing more details, or is it enough just to know that hearing hears sound and touching touches hardness?
I think it's more value to talk about detail, because the more detail we know, the more characteristic of each reality we know.
Right. We begin to realize there's so much ignorance, so without greater and greater support, hearing more about different realities in different aspects and different ways, no way for that ignorance to be seen for what it is. So this is why it's good to consider and listen to more details. So do you have any questions about any realities or anything you would like to hear about? Because if you ask your questions, then you will be able to follow the discussion. But if we just leave it for people to ask, like going to ask the complicated questions, you may not follow. So anything else you and Chong would like to hear about? Anything that's confusing?
Well, I did have some questions, but it's all about pinpoint what happened in the past. And like you said, we couldn't find out what happened in the past, only the present moment, so there's no point in talking about the story that's already gone. So,
very good answer, right? Like we might think now, when I was eating breakfast, and I know its taste, was it awareness or was it attachment at that moment? No one else can answer at all because it's all completely gone. who or what can know at this moment or that moment or any moment, whether, for example, it's attachment or awareness, whether it's kusala or akusala, how can it be known?
Only understanding.
By understanding.
By understanding.
And when can that understanding know it?
We have to develop it step by step.
Yes, but when can, for example, now, if there is understanding, can it understand anything about the attachment that arose while we were eating breakfast?
Yes.
Is the attachment while we're eating breakfast, is it now or has it gone?
It's gone.
So can understanding now understand?
No, sorry.
So it can only understand the attachment at this moment. So if there's no attachment appearing now, then nothing can be known about attachment. Yes. But maybe now there is curiosity, or maybe there is experiencing heat. So those are the realities that appear.
Yes.
So it has to, like you said very well, come back to this moment to understand what appears now. So what appears now? Goeng's favorite word. What appears now?
What appears now?
Yeah.
Hardness. Hardness.
Hardness, yes. Anything else?
Thinking.
Thinking, yes. So even right now, there can be understanding at this moment, yes. Because one has considered and appreciates what is real, what is true at this moment. So actually, it doesn't matter how one's life goes, if one's busy with one's work, or one reads many books, or one studies any subject, because whatever our daily life is, still is just seeing of what is visible, touching of what is hard, just like now. How about you, Chong? Any questions or anything you find helpful to hear about?
Actually, that's it's obviously easier for me when listening in Vietnamese than in English.
Of course, I know.
Yeah, so, and I cannot concentrate on the discussion because when it comes to some Sanskrit word or some professional words,
yes.
I don't know that everything that I heard before is all erased.
So how about now? What appears now?
Yeah, just thinking.
Thinking, yes. Anything else?
Yes.
Is there seeing now?
Yes.
And what is seen now?
Light.
Light, what is visible, okay.
Yeah.
So actually it doesn't matter whether we use English or Vietnamese or Pali or no language, still what is touched is hard, and what is seen is visible, what is heard is sound. Just one world at a time.
Yes.
Is that right? Yes.
Thank you.
Anyway, we appreciate that you've made the effort to come here. And
just a follow-up question then. You mentioned that understanding understands the reality of the present moment. So what is the purpose or benefit of understanding more about the reality of the present moment?
The purpose of understand reality as it really is that we may not live in the world of fantasy, take what's not real for real.
And are there some realities that are more worthwhile understanding than others?
Depending on accumulation.
Right, so we can say the understanding of any reality is useful, is beneficial, right?
Yes.
Because all realities are taken for being something that they are not, right?
Yeah.
And this is why it is said that there is no need to select or choose an object, right?
Yes.
Because awareness and understanding are conditioned dhammas. They arise by conditions. Can we choose the object to be understood by awareness and understanding?
No, that would be the wrong view.
Right. Can we create conditions for certain objects to be the object of awareness and understanding?
I'm sorry, create what?
Conditions.
No, we can.
No.
Is there any benefit or any purpose in following a method such as a meditation practice to be aware of certain objects?
No, sorry.
Why not?
Because it could be the wrong view. Wrong view cannot see reality as is truly, it see reality as self.
Yeah. Right. Good.
Are there any circumstances or conditions in which awareness and understanding is more likely to arise than other circumstances and conditions?
I'm sorry, could you repeat this?
Is there any particular circumstance or conditions for which awareness is more likely to arise than other circumstances and conditions? Place or time?
In my opinion, I don't think so. I don't think so.
So what conditions the arising of awareness and understanding? What factors may condition the arising of awareness and understanding?
Study about the characteristic of the reality. Mm-hmm. And consider each moment.
Hearing about it and considering it. Yes.
I have some friends who study Tibetan Buddhism. And when we talked about anattaness, they say that it is the same than sunyata in Tibetan Buddhism, because I'm not familiar with it. So do you have any comments on that?
Actually, what we have been talking about, like Gabby's point about nothing, like what is clung to now, like the foam, is actually nothing because the hardness is gone already. So this is pointing to sunyata, the sunyata nature of realities. It's the same as anatta, so it's empty of a self, nothing there at all. It's like the banana tree, when you take away the layers of the banana tree and inside it's empty, nothing to be found. But often when people who, it doesn't matter whether they're Tibetan or Theravadan or Mahayana, it doesn't matter what name we call it, but when people haven't studied much about dharmas, they just say everything is nothing, everything is empty. And if you say, well, what is nothing, what is empty, or what does this mean? They cannot say anything more because they don't know about dharmas, about realities, which are empty of atta. So if there's no understanding about different dharmas, just to say everything is nothing, or there's nothing and something or nothing is meaningless, or that there's clinging to nothing, it doesn't mean anything. Just like when our friends that we swim with, they say, oh yes, we're aware of the present moment, life is just the present. It doesn't mean anything because there's no understanding of what is reality. So I don't think it matters who says it or what book says, but we know that if there's not more study of dharmas, actually there cannot be the understanding of what is meant by sunyata or anatta.
I think in the Theravada teaching, as we understand it, sunyata means empty of, as Sarah said, empty of self, but it doesn't mean without characteristic, which is how it seems to be understood in other aspects of the teaching.
And on your last point about there's no special place or circumstances for understanding, so I think for the awareness, for sure, there's no special place or circumstances. But many people think that That means that in our life, we always have to accept the situation as it is, like we don't change anything, because anywhere this can be understanding, but I think these are two separate things. Although understanding can arise anywhere, but if we have a leg that is painful, we still can try to cure it. So I would like to hear your comments about this.
This is exactly the same point we were talking about the other day with someone who was sitting here, I can't remember who it was now, about how if there's no understanding of absolute realities, there is no understanding of concepts, and everything gets mixed up together. So if there's no understanding of what is real at this moment, like Lob mentioned, like the hardness of visible object, then when they hear about not being able to control or about anatta, they think about the leg in the situation and not moving the leg, not understanding that what is touched is hardness and it's conditioned. No one can change the hardness, no one can move it, no one can do anything about hardness. So it's quite different from the usual conventional thinking. It doesn't mean that, like usual, when we talk conventionally, we don't move our leg or go to see the doctor or water the flowers. Life carries on as usual, but with understanding that as life carries on, in truth, there are just different realities. Each one is conditioned.
I think what you just said is sometimes used as an argument by people who have an idea of practice, because they say, well, of course, if there's a problem with the body, then you must do something to get it fixed. So what's the difference between that and choosing what to be aware of or setting aside a time for practice? It's that line of reasoning, as far as I am aware. But you can't make that analogy, because the development of insight is one thing and living a regular life is another thing. In the conventional world, of course, there is intention, there is decision, there is choosing, there is wanting. All these things are part and parcel of life as we know it. And even for the enlightened person, except for the wanting, of course, there's no attachment, but there's planning, there's considering, there's reflecting on the past, and so on and so forth. But we should not confuse that with the path taught by the Buddha for understanding what is real at the present moment.
Your question about sunyata, I remember Jan saying that it refers to the moment when realities have fallen away. There's sunyata, there are nothing, there are no more. So in that sense. And also, yeah, so that doesn't mean that that realities are sunyata. When they fall away, so they're sunyata, not when they are existing.
Can that which has fallen away arise again? And that's the meaning of sunyata. Never be the same one, never arise again. Is that anatta as well? Yes. So sunyata is anatta. All dharmas are anatta. And sunyata as well.
And we read even in suttas, in Theravada suttas, about sunyata, like Sunyata Sutta. So just the same.
The word is the same, but the meaning might be different depending on the interpretation.
And even if someone calls themselves Theravadan or lives in Thailand or Buddhist country or in Sri Lanka, interpretation will be different. Always like that, according to the understanding. Even now, when we all hear about or consider the true meaning of sunyata or anatta, the interpretation, the idea will be different according to the kind of understanding at this moment.
Because Dambak said about Tibetan Buddhism, yes, I just want to share that. I have to say that because studying in Vietnamese is much easier for me, so I start listening to some Vietnamese teacher like Thầy Thích Nhất Hạnh. And my mom, she doesn't satisfy with it, and she said that he has a wrong view and I shouldn't listening to him. But I think that's like you said, and then I talked to Hằng and she said that even when Mahayana or Theravada is doesn't matter, that you know that it doesn't matter if you still have the right understanding. So actually at this moment of my life, of this life, I don't know what is right for me, so I start to studying everything that I'm interested in. That's the reason why that I talk to them, to my sister, that I don't want, I can have the right understanding about Dharma, but I can still find some benefit if I study in everything around me, not just the Theravada. And Tham said that you have to have like a system of reference. And even when you study anything, you have to have a system of reference to know what is right. And I say that I think that you better leave everyone stay with their own accumulation. I really enjoy sitting here silently and listening to Dharma discussion, even when it's very hard for me and I feel sleepy usually all the time. But I just want to listen and I need to have some time to think on my own what is suitable for me at this time of this life.
I don't know if you could follow this, Ajahn. He was saying that he likes to read and study from different teachers, not just here. So he appreciates coming here and listening, but he also likes to listen and hear what other teachings are saying. And this causes some difficulty in the family because his mother and sister say that other ways teachings are wrong, so better if he just studies what we're saying to have a good foundation or way of reference. But he's pointing out that these are his accumulations which are different from theirs, and yes, the reality is any time. And I appreciate what you're saying. Even Ajahn sometimes listens to other teachers to find out what they're saying, or to know, even when one knows that it's not the right way, sometimes it's interesting to know what they're saying. When I first studied and used to stay with Ajahn in her home, often the TV and the radio would be on and there'd be many different teachers teaching, and her father would listen to different teachers just like you, and she never tried to stop it or change it, because as you say, everyone has different accumulations. And even if there isn't much value, or even if you only learn a little bit that's useful, maybe it's interesting to hear. But the main point is that whatever is conditioned at this moment, we've talked about chanda, interest. So whatever there is interest for at this moment is conditioned. Whatever we like at this moment is conditioned. Whatever hearing hears at this moment is conditioned. And I think that when there's more understanding of conditions, we learn to also be more tolerant, to accept that everyone has different accumulations. Like I remember before, there were some discussions and some friends thought that Thai shouldn't be interested in politics or sport or something. But this is not the right way, because everyone has their own interest and life goes on from moment to moment. So I think it's not a problem. Listen to whatever there are conditions to listen to, but the more understanding there is of Dharma, the more one appreciates or learns what is correct. And for me, the more understanding of Dharma, the less interested I am to hear what other teachers say. But sometimes, like for example, Thomas mentioning Tibetan ideas, sometimes it's useful to listen or learn a little bit so that when someone asks a question, you know what their way of thinking is. So, or if someone talks about their meditation practice, if one has listened to what their teacher says, one knows why they think like that. So I think it's no harm, but what if there is more understanding of dharmas, however life goes, it will be easier.
And just to add that the important thing to everyone is listening to is to consider very carefully what is being explained. Because in the end, it's not anything to do with the person who is giving the teaching. So there may be certain monks who have a very fine demeanor and seem very learned, and they may be very learned too, but the important thing is the meaning of what is being spoken about. And often this meaning cannot be appreciated until one has considered it at length over a period of time. So we should be a little bit careful about accepting something at face value and doing something that we are told to do because it's going to bring this benefit or that result or something. But as long as one keeps an open mind about everything, in the end, as I say, it's the message, not the messenger, not the person giving the teaching, that is the important thing to remember. And one other comment I was going to make. Of course, we're attracted to people who teach something that we think sounds right. Everyone likes to have their own ideas confirmed. But sometimes the truth is quite different to what we think it should be. And that's another reason why one has to consider very carefully anything that's heard.
Do you have to believe what is heard? Or you think whether it's right or not?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Do you have to believe and accept what they say, or can you listen and just consider whether it's right or wrong?
I just listening first.
First and then after that?
Yes.
Believe or just consider carefully?
Just consider carefully.
So what's the difference between what you heard from...
What the difference between what?
And the others.
Between... You mean between in this discussion and other teacher?
Mm-hmm. What is the difference? What is different?
The biggest difference is in Vietnamese.
You can translate, please.
The biggest difference is that's in Vietnamese.
Because how do the Vietnamese believe?
Sorry.
What do the Vietnamese believe?
It's easier for you to follow because it's in Vietnamese, but the idea behind what you listen to is the idea any different to what we're discussing here? And yes. If it's different, what is the difference?
Actually, when I first know Dharma discussion 3 years ago, yes, I feel very interesting. But later on that I know that my accumulation is very, very tiny, that I cannot understand many things. So I start to listening to some other Vietnamese teacher. And at the first, when I know Dharma, I have a lot of questions I want to ask. But later I found out that I just want to know the answer, not to have the right understanding. Maybe that I'm too hurry. And when I'm listening to some Vietnamese teacher, that I think that I may learn some lesson that I
sometimes I just want to sit and consider what they are teaching, and I have time for my own to think. And maybe when I feel calm, I can, maybe it's easier for me to think and to consider other things.
Not so, after hearing, they should be considering, right? No matter in Vietnamese or what language or from whom, Vietnamese or Thai or anyone.
Yes.
Consider the word.
Yes.
And the difference.
Yes.
So please, for example, the difference. Like what?
Actually, when I'm listening to English, because I cannot follow everything in the discussion, so I think I need time to consider.
Please give example that you cannot follow.
Yeah, when it comes to some professional words or some Pali words, yeah, I can understand that.
The word talk about what, reality or just the situation?
You mean the Vietnamese teacher?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Actually, I didn't know much about even in Dhamma in Vietnamese.
Just what you know.
Just what I know. Yeah. First, he talks about like the normal life. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it, but I think that he may have a way to approach people mind that sometimes that you don't have to know the words, but you like you have to the right attitude first, like the right direction first, and then when you are feel ready, maybe it's naturally you can.
I think that can be taught by anyone, but to understand whatever appears now is that no one can think by one's own understanding about it. One has to listen to the words of the truth, like now, is there this moment as now? See, we can think over and over, and what is there? Do not just talk, do good. Only that, that's not understanding of what good is in reality.
Yes, but I mean that when I know nothing about Dhamma,
mm-hmm.
and so talking about...
So you say, know nothing about Dhamma, what do you mean?
I mean in the past, when I know nothing about Dhamma,
okay.
and maybe talking about reality or some Pali words, it's made difficult for me, and it's like even when if I'm Jew or Christian and talking about Buddha may be difficult for them, and maybe other teachers they have a way to talk, like they talk about God, they talk about their religion. It may sound ridiculous, but I think at the first step you may have an easy way to approach people's mind that to help them to understand what they want, they try to...
Please excuse me. I have a comment that may be pertinent to this. Yesterday, I was looking up the kilesas as related to diti, and I found this where people use terms and other things and sort of mix them, and when a person is seeking or a bit wobbly, there may not be panya to discern, and this is by an Ajahn Lee Dhammadaro, translated from the Thai by Thanissaro Bhikkhu, 1999, and it has this, even our enemies, when we become familiar with them, can become our friends, our companions, our servants, our slaves. When we look at things in this way, both sides benefit. We benefit from our maras.
there are other things about changing bad into good. The same holds true with the various forms of Mara or the demons of temptation that get in the way of our practice. It obfuscates things, saying things aren't always good, aren't always bad, and it is sort of lukewarm, not hot or cold, and sort of wishy-washy and a bit pleasing everyone, even people who... But, you know, I shared this with a Dhamma friend, and a lot of this is persuasive, it's communication skills. People have all sorts of letters behind their name, and this is the sort of thing that prior to even what little panya there is, could sway into sort of accepting and believing. It's so compelling, so persuasive, but so much of this is nonsense. And before I couldn't see it. I've circled the globe and had been to over 50 countries and with various teachers, and I thought, this is it, I'd found it. And these yogis came who had a certain practice, and I said something to one of the women who'd been with this teacher a number of years. The others were not so firm with him. And I said to her, yes, I tried that too, and it's not satisfying. After a while, it's just not satisfying. And we made eye contact, and I could see that something hit there. She heard what I said, she heard what I said, because I could see from her face that, oh yeah, you know, she's having that experience, and how did I know to read that to see her? Only because I'd been through that. And then the cloud and the sort of glazed eyes came back, and well, she's just going to persist with this teacher, but it's not really going anywhere. And after a couple years here or there, I could see this isn't going anywhere. There's only so far, and this other one uses things that the Buddha said and did, but all these other things are mixed in there in some sort of strange masala to please all sorts of people. And where's the truth? To find a teacher who can stand firm in the truth when there are high-ranking monks saying, you're wrong, and still not have enough courage to stand in the truth and not need their approval, to not be intimidated by these monks and everything they stand for. That says a lot to me. Where did I find such a teaching that is so clear? I was born in a different faith, and I know I don't need to convert to Buddhism or anything. Convert to anything. It's the truth is the truth is the truth.
The point is, as Eva's pointed out, that what is taught, like you mentioned, about having the right attitude first, or being calm first, or changing bad to good, all these ideas, no understanding of Dhamma as Dhamma, no understanding of Anatta, because it's all about I changing my bad to good, or having the right attitude. So it's all about clinging to being a good person, clinging to me being a good person. So when one reads and considers carefully and learns more about dhammas, one can learn what is right and what is wrong, but then it depends on accumulations, what one will read and study and consider. And for others, like in your family, sometimes the best way is just let them be, let them, everyone has to find out for themselves. They have to read and consider. Like when everyone was telling Tai, don't study politics, don't watch football, he would just study more. But now they stopped saying it, he's not interested. So maybe when they stop telling you, don't read this, maybe you throw it away anyway. So like the tattoo, just like the same with the tattoo, when your family kept saying, don't have a tattoo, you just want to have it. But when they said, okay, as Ajahn said, let it be, then no more interest. So one lesson for you and one for the family, but for your own reading and considering, learn what is right. Is it just attachment to being this kind of person, or is it really any understanding of dharmas? So that's why I started to ask Lob, what is the purpose? What is right? Why do we need to hear about dharma? Because if there's no understanding of dharma now as life, as anatta, there will just be more and more clinging to different ideas, different ways, different methods, different teachers, on and on and on. So consider carefully for yourself, that's all. No rule at all.
And I have just one thing for you to consider, that when you are with another teacher, whatever, you may go to several, for all I know, but for your consideration, you could ask the other teacher what you have heard from a different teacher to see how it is responded to. Because that is a good way of testing for yourself the validity of what the teacher is saying. So rather than just listen passively and consider by yourself, from this teacher you hear this, so when you go to that teacher, you can ask this teacher what you heard from that one, and vice versa, to get a clearer understanding of what the teacher is saying.
Can I talk in Vietnamese and Tâm Bạch Quỳnh translate it?
Your English is good enough. Your English is good enough.
No, I don't think so, because even in Vietnamese, my sister still misunderstand me. So I think that I'm better say it in my own language. It may waste your time.
Ý em muốn nói là kiểu có nghĩa những gì mà mọi người dạy cả những gì Achan nói thì em cũng.
I think he already said it before. Like he can understand what you all are saying and agree with that. But on the other hand, he feels that his accumulations are very low and he still has a lot of dhiti and mana. So the other way of approaches seem to be more suitable for him, and that is his accumulation. So he thinks that at some point when those teachings will help him to increase his understanding, then he will turn again to what you are teaching here.
Anyway, you have come here, so it shows your interest, and like you said, you appreciate listening, and like Lob said, you appreciate the value of knowing about different realities. But in the beginning, there must be a lot of doubt and misunderstanding, so of course one will look for other ways and other teachings. So I think this is very natural. But when there's more considering, more understanding, then less doubt and the understanding becomes firmer. But for now, like you say, everyone has different accumulations. So it's very natural that it should be like this.
Do you want to have more understanding?
Sorry, I cannot hear you, Achan.
Okay. Do you want to have more understanding?
Do I really want to have more understanding? Yes, at this time of this life, I think yes, even when I know that it's not the right view.
You know how to have more understanding?
I think it's not a right view to want to have more understanding, but I think I still have it.
Yes, but how? If you do not come here, if you don't listen at all, can there be more understanding?
Yes, maybe a little.
If you want to have more, what's the way to have more?
The way to have more understanding?
Yes.
I think that studying Dharma
by yourself, listen and then discussion and share your understanding with the others.
I don't think that studying by myself can help me, but
that's right.
At some time, I think I need to be on my own And then if I have some question, I may ask many people around
me. Why Dhamma is so very difficult?
I think that's because we live many lives in a fantasy world. And
to understand what? Many lives?
To understand.
Ajahn was saying, that's why Dhamma is so difficult.
And why does it need more life to develop understanding? Because it's so very difficult. And from this moment on, can there be more understanding? Little more, even very little more. Can there be a little more understanding?
I think yes.
Of what? What would you like to understand?
I'm not sure I know the answer.
To understand?
Yes, I'm really confusing. I'm not sure that I... What I
so begin with the beginning word, like, what is life?
What is life?
Mm-hmm.
Life.
Even simple question, if there is no precise understanding,
it cannot simple question
understand
if
you wish to have more understanding of Dhamma. So what is life?
I know it's a simple question, but I don't know how to answer it.
Is life this moment?
Life this moment is breathing, seeing,
now,
hearing.
Yes.
Yes.
So would you like to understand better of this reality? As they are as ourself, this is the point. Because seeing is not anyone at all. It just arises by conditions to see and then fall away. From moment to moment, that is life continuum. From moment to moment, the flux of that, which no one can control, and there is doubt. You know why you ask this question? Why do you ask this question? Do you know?
Which question?
What you ask. The question you ask, do you know why you ask such question?
As I said before, that when in the past I first know Dhamma, I have many questions I want to ask. But why everything is so hard and why there is no self, but and many, many other questions. But then I realized that maybe it's not I want to have the right understanding, but I want...
That everything is about I. But actually, there is no I, just this word.
Yes, I know.
And then continue on why it is not I. For example, when I ask, why there is such question? See, we talk about reality no matter what and no matter when, like yesterday. We talk about that, and today we can talk about that again in order to have more understanding. Can we say that because of chanda?
What is chanda?
Like we mentioned just a little bit ago, interest. Like for you, there is interest to read about these different Tibetan, what the different Tibetan teachers have to say, or there's interest to go and visit Mongolia. This is chanda interest.
Yes.
While your friend does not ask this question or such question, because what? Because of his chanda. Not of this question, but of the other question. See? So learn to understand what is what, which is not self, in order to have more confidence that each reality is so real and it's uncontrollable. It depends on conditions. Keep on thinking over this again and again and again, and that can bring more understanding of no self. There is no other way. So when you heard any word, what about thinking over and see whether it's true or not. Is it this moment? Can it be understood about the truth of it? Like now, see, is it real? Is it you? What is it if it's not you? See, it will bring more understanding of no self, no one, little by little.
Actually, you're the one who is very fortunate because, like you, I, and I'm sure many other people, we like to be alone. I like to be alone also. But if one just thinks and thinks on one's own, one won't reach the truth. So one needs to consider, one needs to ask questions, one needs to discuss. And the reason I say you're very fortunate is because you have your sister and good friends who you can discuss dharmas with, and Lop, who really appreciates the value of understanding about dharmas. So this is one of the mangala, one of the great blessings,
yes,
being able to discuss and listen. But if one just thinks, I'm going to just study on my own, then one just thinks in one's usual way, and like you say, when there's very little understanding, one just thinks over and over, but in the wrong way. So it's really a good opportunity, to very good fortune, to be able to discuss and ask questions and learn more about these different realities.
Yes, but
in the case of the other teachers you study with, is it possible to ask questions, or is it just listening to a talk situation? Is it possible to ask questions of other teachers?
Is it possible to ask a question?
Yes.
When you are with another teacher, you talked about the teachings in Vietnamese that
yes.
you like to listen to.
I just listening online.
Listening online.
Yes, it's not a discussion.
Right.
It's that
not
they
live.
Just only the teacher talk.
And just to confirm something that Sarah mentioned, that being on one's own is one thing. I mean, everyone likes to have time on their own and to consider things that they like to consider. But when it comes to thinking about the truth of things, there can be a certain danger in just keeping one's thoughts to oneself, because it's easy to believe that you are thinking correctly or understanding correctly, whereas in fact, because of one's accumulations, which we've talked about, one of those accumulations is wrong view for all of us. So we tend to veer off the path. We tend to think incorrectly when it's just kept to ourselves. So it's a kind of safety net to bring out one's thoughts. Whether one has a particular question or not, it's a good idea to share one's thoughts with someone else, because when we have to voice them, it's more a test of what we really think and whether they are correct or not.
Yes, I agree with this, but just sometimes I just want to...
Sure.
Yeah, just sometimes, not all the time.
That is natural.
Actually, I really have many questions, but I start to ask less, because
yes.
I think that sometimes that I just want to know more to... You think...
It doesn't matter, as Ajahn was saying... And I'm not sure if you understood this. She was saying, any question that a person has, why does one want to ask that question?
Yes.
And the answer is because one's interested
yes.
in knowing the answer. So that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Even if the interest is a selfish one, it's all about me. Well, it has to be that way, because that's the accumulations that we have. But if we didn't ask the questions, then we would miss a lot of opportunity to maybe hear something useful.
Yes, I know, but I will ask when I don't know, I just feel it naturally that if I want to ask, that I will ask, sure.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no rule that one has to ask a certain number of questions.
Yes.
And when it's not I, what is there?
Sorry, I cannot hear you.
When it's not I, what is it? To do this or to do that, to listen more, to study more, to consider more, what is that?
I don't know, I think it's that you still have to use I.
It's the same question as what is life now? What is life now? What is there now when it's not I?
The reality. Moment, yes.
Just reality. So it's not I, not my question, my problem, my difficulty. Just different dhammas. And that is life now.
And is that enough to know?
Enough to know?
Is it enough?
No, I don't think so.
So what is that? At moment of thinking, of listening more?
I don't know, maybe ignorant.
Yes, because you see that it's a reality. And we talked about chanda yesterday. But we don't know that chanda arises with all moshchitta. So even at that moment of thinking to listen more, it's chanda. While the other might say, I don't follow up anything about this at all, that is also chanda. So chanda arises with almost each citta.
Oh, I see.
Not just learn to know the word, but any moment which can understand what is there, we can begin to understand the difference between chanda and lobha. Because of chanda, there is lobha. Because of interest of such, there is attachment to that. Yes. That's why chanda arises with almost every citta. Is this right? Is this true? It's not I, little by little. To know the difference of different realities. Otherwise, when they come together, there must be the idea of something or someone or I all the time. Actually, there are different realities. Chanda is not lobha. Without interest, can there be chanda? Can there be lobha? So it arises with almost every citta. Except how many? Daily life, right now, 20 jitas without chanda, 18 ahetuka jitas, and also 2 moha, mula jitta. When it doesn't know what to do, I don't know, that it's not chanda. To like this or like that, to be interested in this or that. It's the way to study or to learn about Dhamma, everyday life. So when you have doubt about whether what is this, you can think over it and know better.
And when listening but not asking question, there's still I who's listening, wanting to know, trying to understand. So it's not really any different.
Is there chanda at that moment?
Yes.
Now we know almost every moment. Just a little bit of understand this, understand that, it brings more and more understanding from moment to moment.
Yes.
A chance to, when learning about attitude, good attitude, and you know all other kind of goodness according to what Chung described, do you think that it can be the foundation to start learning Dhamma later on?
It begins on the motive of studying or listening. What for? Just to have knowledge about that, or just to realize what is there? When one heard about no self, is it true? What is it? How can it be no self? Because we are used to take everything for something all the time, even right now. That's why the intellectual understanding is not enough, never enough, until it knows that only when there is direct understanding of what has heard so many, many times, now it is like that, that seeing. It's now sees. It's that which sees. Otherwise, no time to be aware, to condition awareness and right understanding.
Someone may, conventionally speaking, have a very good attitude. They may be very respectful to Ajahn or another teacher, very kind, very patient, very well behaved, but no interest to really listen and understand about realities, or the idea of self may be so strong they cannot hear about dhammas which are anatta, whereas another person might be very hyperactive and very disturbed and restless, or want to walk around all the time and not be very respectful to the teacher. They might like to argue about everything, but still when they hear, they may really appreciate the truth of what is said and really consider the value of understanding, even though they may continue to walk around and be very disturbed in a conventional sense. So it's the understanding that's important from the very beginning, no matter what the accumulations. Some people like to read many different books or listen to different teachers. Some like to watch soccer. Some like to go swimming. Some like to run around even during a Dhamma discussion. But it always comes back to the understanding at this moment.
So even though it's difficult, I think the beginning of the path always starts with understanding the Dhamma. So if we think that, okay, because now my accumulations are still low, so I better listen to some other things, although they may not, they may contradict even, because it talks about self, then it can help me later on to understand Dhamma. I don't think this is the case.
The important point is that each moment, each Dhamma now is conditioned. So whether one turns on the talk of another teacher or whether one turns on the talk of by Ajahn, each moment, each thinking, each movement is conditioned and anatta. So there can be understanding right now or at that moment about Dhamma, and the more appreciation of what is right, the more one sees the value in what is useful. But like this morning when I woke up and I opened my computer, I had no idea beforehand whether I will look at the news about the bushfires in Australia, or I will look at our discussion list to see if someone has a question. Each moment, each touching is conditioned, and I don't set any rule about it. I don't say that the Dhamma is the important one, so I better just look at the Dhamma or just listen to the discussion, because actually there is interest to check the situation about the bushfires or the protests in Hong Kong or something. So it depends on interest and understanding at each moment. Like Nina said, tomorrow morning she's looking forward to having a free morning so she can read the newspapers. So no need to set any rule about it. And if my friend says they are going to listen to another teacher now, I won't try to persuade them not to. But I know that if I can encourage them to hear and consider more, then there will be more confidence in what is right.
I don't think there's any point in trying to persuade someone not to listen to another teacher if they have that accumulation, or to tell them it's wrong view or anything like that, because that person has the accumulation, has the tendency to do that. But as Sarah said, it's a matter of considering carefully what is heard, and if possible, considering it against what one knows of the actual teaching of the Buddha, to see whether it is in accordance with that. If it claims to be the Buddha's teaching, that is. Of course, if it's something else that's not part of the Buddha's teaching, then that's also possible.
Can you do anything to chant that?
No.
See, it depends. Is there any warrior here? Warrior. Is there anyone here?
Any virya?
If one doesn't know the enemy, how can one will be a warrior? See? Even just having annoyance, to be annoyed, just a moment, or to someone, towards someone, you think about what will you do to that person, right? But in return, when it's panya with chanda, it changes from to do something to someone. It is to understand that moment as ignorance and dosa. Who can have it less and less without understanding that it's useless to do anything to anyone, just this kilesa as warrior. It's useless to have more, and if you have metta instead, it's much better. The situation changes from what you're going to say something or do something to someone with metta. It's better to both sides. Can that be one day, more or less? That's why right understanding has to understand what is the danger. All akusala, even just a little like ignorance, it will bring more and more unwholesome, unpleasant situation to both sides. It will draw more dosa, see, even it's just a little, just irritation, only that. But that is to be eradicated or eliminated little by little. When panya is not there, you think of what to do with that person or try to correct or try to help in the other way. But it's here to know that only here at that moment. How can it not arise more than this? Because it has arisen already.
Behind it, there is the idea of I would like to change that person, or I would like them to have the different accumulations rather than just understanding at that moment and helping them when they would like help or ask questions. I think that by a warrior, what Ajahn is talking about too is about, we were talking about virya, about a parami and kanti parami. So kanti referring to the patient aspect and virya parami, the aspect of being courageous at this moment, or being a warrior when there is right understanding. With right understanding at this moment, to really be courageous and truthful about what is real. Like one may think that when one tries to tell the other to do something different, that this is wholesome virya and metta, but what about the understanding at this very moment of what appears? There has to be courage and there has to be patience at that moment, different aspects of virya. So it's courage not to, like we were talking about the four padanas, courage not to let lobha arise or moha arise at the moment. I'm not saying about in the way of self, but courage to be kusala with understanding at that very moment. So this is the aspect of right effort that has to arise with understanding the first padana, forbearing from a kusala that hasn't arisen. So it's courageous at that moment to understand what appears now, no matter what it is, no matter its attachment or wrong view or what one doesn't like, whatever appears now, takes courage.
Yes, Tara, I agree with you on the point that we cannot change or force other people or change other people's accumulation what we can is just like to encourage to understand more. And I think that's the way the story go back in the beginning when I tried to encourage Tung to come to the discussion. And he said if just he came because he respect Ajahn. If he can listen, he can listen even online. So I think it's better with discussion like this because they are interact. And especially when you have the question, it's easy for other people to pinpoint what is wrong behind or any misunderstanding behind. But then Chung said that firstly, the ideas maybe come from the self who want to train other people because what you think helpful for other people, but in fact, it may not helpful for them. And secondly, one if person even don't stand their own, so how can other people can help? Because that person even that don't understand for themselves. Yeah, so I think it's helpful.
Sometimes, like you say, when one articulates, when one puts it into words, like Gung had the experience yesterday, sometimes one tries to put one's question into words and then one begins to see that how little understanding there is because one can't even find the right words. Or like Tam mentioned yesterday, sometimes one asks a question and the answer seems like a put down. It seems like the answer is just pointing to the wrong view or the ignorance. And of course we don't like that because of the clinging to self, because of the mana or conceit. But it's so beneficial because then we begin to consider our idea and learn what we don't understand at all. Like when Ajahn said, what is life now? And you don't know how to answer it. But now there will be more considering, what is life? What is the meaning? Is there understanding of life at this moment? When I listen to other teachings, does it help to understand more about what life is at that moment? So by expressing the idea, even if it's completely wrong, it's very useful. So this is why I said it's a great benefit to have a system, friends, that encourage you to discuss and listen more.
Sometimes she just pushed too much. Sometimes he just pushed me too much.
I
not
know.
Encourage.
And I understand your accumulations when it seems that they're pushing too much.
And
you want to go the opposite direction.
We've
I understand.
Had this conversation before, haven't we?
But how much is too much? Just one discussion, right?
Just what I feel.
Sometimes it's very difficult to listen to one's own brother or sister or family member.
Yes.
I know.
I think in Yachang
we
had
me,
a
but
discussion
I think
about
that's if
being pushed.
We are equals, that they. I don't think that even maybe stranger, not just only family.
If like now, let's say you feel now she's pushing you too much, telling you better come back next time, and when you feel she's pushing you too much, what kind of chitta is there at that moment?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I don't know.
Unknown. Is it kusala or akusala at that moment when you...
I think akusala.
When you feel annoyed and feel that she's pushing you too much and you feel disturbed at that moment?
Akusala.
Akusala. It's dosa, right? Common, ordinary dosa with unpleasant feeling.
Is it and good to know it's dosa at such moment?
Yes, I think.
So... at that moment, like now, if there's annoyance because she started talking to you and pushing you, you feel. So at this moment of annoyance, is that life now?
Is that life now?
Is that life now? Like Ajahn asked you, what is life? So at this moment of being
yes.
annoyed, is that life?
Yes.
It's life now. It's Dhamma. And it passes. And
yes.
next moment, no more annoyance.
Yeah.
So it's life at this very moment. And there can be understanding now of that life because it's now.
Yeah, I think I can still learn something from that too.
Yes, and I also told usually somehow we feel that because we are family members or close friends, because I do the same for other people. It just whenever there's a chance to share, and we just share, right? And somehow we have to insist, because if it is right, we know this is the right way. We have to be very clear what is right and what is wrong. But it doesn't mean you angry or you try to force at that time, because how he feels maybe depends. We are family members. It's easy to do sadhana.
And there's also a right time and a wrong time, and a right way and a wrong way. So just to say because it's the truth or it's right isn't quite enough. The Buddha knew what was true and right, but he also knew the right time and the right way, which we of course don't, but we have to keep in mind that those factors are also relevant.
Sorry, I cannot understand.
For example, Ajahn's sisters, maybe sometimes they are interested to hear a little, other times no interest at all, because they want to look at clothes or they want to listen to other teachers. So she won't insist at that those times at all. Or the same if I'm with my brothers in England, if I'm on a long journey and they would like to discuss, then I can discuss. But if they don't want to talk and they don't want to hear what I have to say, then to insist just is a condition for dosa.
Yes, I understand. Actually, it really depends on what's really at that moment, right?
Of course, we're assuming it's a good motivation, but even if it's a good motivation, like if Tai is watching football on TV and he doesn't want to hear or discuss, it's not the right time, so no use to insist. So if he's busy with something else, it's not the good time to insist. So it has to be the right time or the time they would like to hear or consider.
Yes, I understand that. It really depends on what's happening and only one know for oneself. Yeah. Even somehow there can be the idea of self, etc. there, but even that can also be understood. Yes, so I didn't try to.
But just for your reference, he feel that way, it means that you didn't tell him in the right time.
For comment?
It can't always be the right time. We just do our best. Sometimes we share something and it turns out to be the wrong time, or we say too much. So it cannot always be right because we're not the Buddha. Even Ajahn may say something and people may not understand anything, or it may be too much at the wrong time. So we just do our best. But it's good to consider the interest or the wishes of the other at the time as well, because if there's just going to be a lot of dosa, we have to consider that.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
I try to accept them when every time that she tried to push me, but because I know that he's her own accumulation, but
you know that it's maybe we've learned about being patient is kusala quality. Yes,
but that's the reason why as in my family, in the past, that maybe I like my sister, I want to help my mother and my father, I try to change them a lot. And later, I realized that maybe I have to concentrate on my own way. Maybe it's the best way to help them, not to try to tell them what is right. Maybe that because they may not understand what is right, but if I try to help them without the right understanding, I don't think that is gonna be helpful. And you know, because my mother, she really respect Ajahn, and she always said that everything that Ajahn said is right. I know that is right, but She seemed like she doesn't considerate that, just believe in everything that she heard. And that's why I think that's a problem, because it's the wrong view, right? Because without consideration, that you cannot have the right understanding. But now I know that's her own accumulation. I will not try to change her. But no, that's the
live and let live. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I want to try to explain to them, that just leave her and leave my father. Practice in their own way, even if it's in meditation.
Jan often reminds us, like Al will know, that one cannot be the world manager. One cannot change everything and have everything as one would like it, including one's family members. But one just shares and helps as best one can. But in the end, live and let live.
I think I understand your feeling, because I'm one of the moms. And the mom that has two kids listened to Ajahn since they were in my tummy. So at the beginning, I was very pushy, you know, try to tell them, you know, what Ajahn said is the best. But because I understood what she's saying, but they are young, you know, young people just very having difficulty to understand what, even to start what Dhamma is. And so one day my husband told me, do not push them, because they're going to run away from you. And so I stopped. And then later on, now my daughter lives in New York, and she's now start asking me questions about Dhamma. So I think I think it's very hard for mother or father to try to express themselves how much they love and care for their kids. So I think Dhamma is the best thing that they could give to their kid, but they don't have any other way to explain it except for what they can understand. But they totally forgot that, you know, young generation is different than the older generation. So it's going to take time. But hang in there. You get there somewhere, somehow.
Thank you.
I wanted to say something. I don't know your name, sir.
Yes, my name is Chun.
Chun? Good to meet you and welcome. I have no idea how long you've been coming, but I identify with, there is identification with being in the hot seat, a jumble of ideas, concepts, confusion, and so on. And then patience to sit with the discomfort, because things aren't clear immediately. And that was part of the attraction with these other teachers that didn't exactly work out or pan out, was this desire for a solution, a way, a practice for results. And what is the most precious thing is understanding, or the Pali word panya, wisdom, which eradicates the defilements. And it wasn't exactly, I mean, yeah, discomfort, and sometimes very much discomfort, pain, that I didn't like it. There wasn't liking or warming up to the idea that this is going to take a long time. But the truth, and the truth can't be defiled or muddled up or dolled up or made somehow fluffed up, souffled, so that it's more digestible for wrong view or for, you know, there needed to be adjustment to the truth, and I can't, not possible to change people, places, and things. So I heard from other of my Dhamma friends that yes, they too are a little bit separate from family members, because they're here studying Dhamma and not following a more traditional prescribed way or practice.
I cannot see the difference between the old and the young generation at all. Is Lopa, is it what generation? Chanda, young old generation. See? So when people talk about generation, I think that they think in their own idea about time and whatever arises from there to now. But I think that exactly, actually, when there is no one or self, it does not depend on generation at all. Many words in Thai, and I believe in other languages as well, has wrong understanding because of wrong idea. What about the 7 years old Visakha became enlightened as Satapanna, young generation, while the old generation there couldn't attain such degree of understanding.
Like Chong is talking about his mother and not understanding, so then he may say it's the old generation, but actually it depends on the accumulations and interest when hearing the Dharma, and in the end it's not old or young or anyone, it's just different khitas at those moments.
Can we say that the old generation is wiser than the young generation?
No, mostly.
Depending on understanding.
I also think that no generation likes to be told what to do. likes to be pushed, right?
Young children don't like to be pushed. Teenagers don't like to be pushed. Young adults don't. Elderly people don't.
Or 50 years ago, they didn't like to be pushed. I think in the Buddha's time also, they didn't like to be pushed. I think usually every time is the wrong time when you try. And
another reality present at the feeling of being pushed is mana or conceit. It's not that one is hearing an unpleasant sound. One is hearing something probably spoken nicely, and the person speaking is speaking with good intention, but it's one's mana that one is being pushed. So mana and dosa, two realities at least, and others too, of course.
Do you understand what mana is, Chong and Lob?
And I understand a little.
For example, now, when there's thinking about me and my importance, so when someone says something and we think, you know, they're trying to tell me what to do, and it's like waving a flag of saying, no, this is my important self. It's mana at that moment. Or when we think that I know better than them, so why are they trying to tell me? Or, well, it's okay for Ajahn because she understands clearly, but I have so little understanding, mana. So all those moments of finding I so important, different from wrong view, when it's the idea of I exist, this is me, but this is the idea of I'm the important one. How dare my sister try to push me or tell me what to think, or why does she tell me when she doesn't even know herself? This is mana at those moments. Or when we think, I understand better, so my understanding is important. It's mana. Or I don't know anything. I don't have any understanding, or there's so little awareness, but so-and-so has more. Mana. Or if we think, why did they arrange the chairs in this way or the flowers like this? I think they should have arranged it a different way, or my way would be to have the flowers sitting here, not at the front. Mana. I know better. My idea is more important.
Even when, like, Buddhism is righter than Christian is mana. Buddhism is righter than Christian or Jew is mana.
Not really, because then it's not about me and myself. This may be just stating a true fact that in Buddhism, it talks about dharmas or realities which can lead to more understanding. But in Christianity, it doesn't teach about these realities or truths at all. So it's just stating a true fact, but it's not thinking about if there is the idea, I know better than my family because I'm studying Buddhism, so my way of thinking is more important. That is mana.
Like what Jonathan said before, one might have different accumulations and have different options to do, different way of doing things, but the most important thing is to just keep an open mind and discuss our ideas. I think that is the good thing to keep in mind.
Because we know, when we know more about mana, and we know it's like that for everyone, it's not my mana, it's just a dharma, common dharma that arises with attachment, certain kinds of attachment with mana, and only an arahat has no mana. So when speaking to others, there is consideration because we know mana is likely to arise, so people don't like to be pushed or told what to do because mana is so common. So no use to think, well, they shouldn't have mana because it's akusala, because actually mana is there. So there can be gentleness or consideration when we remember that for everyone there is clinging to self in different ways.
I'm thinking though that when there's gentleness and kindness, when one is speaking about the Dhamma, that's not mana, but I believe there are times when one can speak about the Dhamma with an I know better than you mode, and that would be mana. So it's a subtle difference.
Yes, I meant gentleness and consideration because one knows for the other there is likely to be mana or they may not like to hear. But yes, when speaking it can be with any kind of cheetahs.
From now on, can you understand a little bit of mana?
Yes.
When?
A few moments ago.
Please say again. Not exact, because few moments, what's there? Not only mana.
So Rajan is saying that what happened a few moments ago is gone already, so we can't understand now what happened a few moments ago, right? Her question is, when can mana be understood?
Now. Recognize?
And the answer is when it arises. That's when it can be recognized, right?
And when does it arise?
Like when you said, when you feel that I'm important than you, or I know better than you, there's mana.
That is thinking, right?
Yes.
Is there mana at that moment of thinking?
Yes.
How do you know?
I just think.
Only the moment when it arises, it does mean that when you ask anything, it is with mana or without mana at all. It's impossible. Panya is not that level, but when it appears, that is the characteristic of mana, that you learn to understand that is not self, but it's such a characteristic which cannot be changed. Arises and falls away. What can anyone do?
And from what we've just been saying about mana, is it something that arises quite often, or is it unusual and rare in a day?
I think it's quite often.
Is there mana now?
Maybe no. Even when I think that I am weaker than you, is this mana? Even when I'm equal you, this still mana?
Can be. Like, I think the point Ajahn is saying, we can think of these different situations and say, oh, that's what mana, but only if it arises now, only if it appears now can it be known. Like I might state as a fact, Anne's book is bigger than mine, or Roti is taller than me. It's true, it's a fact, not necessarily mana. So we can't just say that whenever we think Roti is taller than me, that mana is there. So only if it appears now, only when it arises now, can it be known. Otherwise, we're just thinking of different situations by thinking. So when she asked, when does it arise, it has to be now, or when can it be known, only when it arises now. At that moment of thinking, Roti is taller than me. Only the person who thinks at that moment can know by panya whether it is mana at that moment or not.
Any kind of comparison to other people means mana, right? Achan?
More than that.
More than that. Mm-hmm. For example, Achan, what?
For Arupa Brahma, Arupa Brahma.
Right.
Does he or she has mana? Does he have mana? Or he have mana or Arupa Brahma?
Yes.
No one there.
Also in Arupa Brahma you have mana?
Not eradicated yet. So it is the moment of feeling something like mana. So one knows that it's different from when there is no mana. That's why there are so many realities always unknown. We learn by names only, but when it's there, who knows? Until we hear about mana, when one is pushed or something like that. Before that, we don't know. So next time, when someone pushed you, that moment of feeling, there is mana. Just such feeling. Sometimes it cannot be explained because it has many aspects.
So did you come here because your sister told you to come?
Of course not.
No.
So how can I push?
I might think now, too many things on your small table, something might fall over. Just thinking like that, there can be mana. I'm not comparing it, I don't have a table like yours, but just thinking too many things there can be mana at that moment. Very common.
And also I can feel mana because you think that I arrange my table in the wrong way.
Because you're the one being talked about.
Kun Jonathan, who are you?
Kun who did you say?
Kun Jonathan, who are you? See? So mana arises with attachment. No matter it arises at that moment without Didi, for sure it cannot arise with Didi because they are different, opposite realities. But who am I? See, just that.
Achan said opposite realities, mana and
mana
Didi?
Mana cannot arise with Didi at all. That's why Sotapanna still have mana until Nagami.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's hard to think them as opposite because
not so much opposite, but they different mental factors mm-hmm. that don't arise together.
Because they look so similar, right? They seem to me so similar, mana and Diti.
When there is mana, there can be wrong understanding, taking it for I, different moment. But when there is no wrong understanding, there can be mana without any wrong understanding at all.
That's hard to understand because I relate mana to the idea of self.
We are talking about different levels of understanding, from not understanding reality as no one, no self at all, and more, little by little. moment without Didi, but there is still man. When there are conditions for anything to arise, it has to arise.